we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Brevard County, Florida. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. And I'd like to invite you personally. It's just you and me here right now. And this is my personal invitation to you to come and be a part of our Resurrection Sunday services this coming weekend. At 10:30 is our worship service. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We will treat you to a free meal if you come to church on Sunday, as well as share with you the Word of God. We're going to have a great time in the house of the Lord. We have a picnic that is going to take place afterwards. And, you know, our picnics look an awful lot like a banquet down here in Florida. And so we will have some activities for the kids. We're going to present them with the salvation message of the work that Jesus did upon the cross. And so there are going to be several stations where they're going to get some goodies. They're going to get candies. They'll have a chance to hunt for stuff. It is going to be a great day. But the greatest thing that is going to take place is what we're going to be talking about today, is that there are going to be people who enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ this coming Sunday. And so we'd like to invite you, bring your family, bring your friends. We are putting up additional seating this week. We would love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing. So, and I just want to say thank you to the wonderful team at Merritt Assembly of God that enables us to do the things that we do. They are just unbelievable saints as far as prayer. We have and are still going through 30 days of prayer and fasting, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have people meeting at our church, 6 o'clock in the morning, praying for the people of Brevard County, praying for the businesses in Brevard County, praying for our government leaders and our elections. We're praying that God's will be done and that His kingdom will grow, that your bodies will be made whole, and that you and your entire households will be saved. So we would like to invite you out. I guarantee you the message that I'm preaching this week, that Jesus knows the world you live in. He knows the world you live in. When I worked in a factory when I was in college, and there was a person that was there, and they actually made this statement. This is not an exaggeration. This is as close to a word-to-word quote as I can give you from something that took place 35 years ago. And the quote was this: when I get to heaven, I'm going to explain to God how it was down here and why I didn't accept Jesus as my Savior, and He's going to let me into heaven because He is clueless as to how the reality of the world is down here. I want you to know that that was garbage then, and it's a garbage philosophy now. Jesus knows what you have to go through. And he wants to journey with you through that process. And so I'm going to be preaching this weekend, and would love for you to come and celebrate your Easter Sunday with us as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's this Sunday, Sunday morning. We don't have our Sunday night service, but we would love for you to come and be a part of it. So let's get into the Word. Today, I do want to remind you about our vintage service tomorrow. I was unavailable last week. I had gone to my grandmother's funeral, and one of our missionaries Tim Garrison. He filled in for me, and so we're very, very thankful for the team that God has put together at Merit Assembly of God. We've prayed for 23 years. God sent laborers into the harvest field, and we have some of the best laborers. I mean, God's always provided laborers, but he has probably provided one of the best teams that I've ever been a part of at Merit Assembly of God. And so we'd like to extend an invitation to you. If you'd like to come be a part of a healthy, vibrant body of Christ on a local level, come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. So let's get into the word this morning. Luke chapter 22, verse number 20, and it says, "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.'" And so we had talked about the bread, and when we celebrate communion, we tend to celebrate them in rapid fire succession. We celebrate the bread, and then we turn right around and we celebrate with the juice. We serve grape juice, we do it. Sometimes we do it at the first part of the service. Sometimes we do it at the latter part of the service. It really just depends on how we feel God is leading on that particular day. But this time it says that the cup, the celebration of the cup, it actually took place after supper. But it says likewise. And it means that in the same manner in which he took the bread, he also took the cup. In the same manner that he took hold of the apostles, he will also take hold of you and I in that same manner. You see, everything that Jesus does is mobilized by his great love for us. It never changes. He is love. There are some people who have taken that, they've morphed it, they've abused it, stretched it, contorted it to make it as if that love is never going to have a manifestation that is going to be displeasing to humanity. But nothing further from the truth could be found. It in reality, the scripture says, you can look it up for yourself, that his wrath is equal to his mercy. His wrath is equal to his mercy. And it talks about that his wrath is demonstrated on a daily basis, just as his mercies are brand new every morning. I don't know how he's manifesting his wrath. I know this, he is not releasing the full manifestation of his wrath right now. Thank God for that. That's what is going to take place in the great tribulation. But he has already demonstrated the full extent of his love. He can't love you anymore. He will not love you any less. But it says that God disciplines those that he loves. Now, when our kids were growing up, we had a strategy in place. We had stages of correction that took place. It was designed in such a manner that we didn't want to have just, you know, a one-size-fits-all policy. In our household, lying was a maximum punishment. There are some people that think that lying is cute. Lying is, isn't that adorable? Or I don't find deception adorable in any form or any fashion. There are some people that they lie to their spouses on little things, and then it gets to be easier to lie to spouses about things that are not so little until pretty soon you are unfaithful in that which is the most important. You see, God does not think that lying is trivial. Lying is very, very consequential. Therefore, it is a very serious matter. You see, the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I didn't want my kids to have a part in that. I don't want to have a part of that. I don't want you to have a part in that. And besides that, lying is the native tongue of the devil. It is his native language, and he speaks like it. So whenever you are lying, you are speaking like the devil, and whenever you are speaking the truth in love, you are speaking like Jesus, and our desire is to be more like Jesus than it is to be like the devil. So But sometimes those correctional measures that we meted out, it didn't always get met with a great deal of pleasure with our kids. But the Bible says that God disciplines those he loves. So our strategy was this: not only to have various staggering degrees of correction, you know, be timeout or grounding, or, you know, you're losing. You know what we found? We found that if our kids' behavior was not what we wanted it to be, that it would come back into line very quickly if we took away the television, unplugged it, disconnected it, put it in the closet, that pretty soon there was peace and unity that was coming back into our house. And so we did that over and over and over again. And so, you know, said, hey, if you don't straighten up, we're going to take the television away. But the thing that we did was, whenever we were getting on up there in the upper levels of correction, that we tried to take our emotions out of it. We would give ourselves a timeout. We didn't want to lash out at our kids in anger. We didn't want it to be an emotional experience. We wanted it to be a correctional experience. And so God does love us. He comes and he says, I've got this for you. He says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And I don't know if you've ever tried correcting anything with whiteout. My office manager keeps a bottle of whiteout on her desk. It's probably older than most of the kids that come to our church. We just don't use it that often. But sometimes you can use the whiteout and think that you have something covered, and actually you don't. And it bleeds back through. You see, the Old Testament, they had a covering over of the sins, but it didn't really do anything for taking them away. And Jesus said, you know what? The problem with humanity is that it is a sin problem that the blood of bulls and goats will not take it care of. It will not take care of it. And so I'm going to come and I'm going to shed my blood. It's going to be the blood of a new covenant, that it is going to take away the inclination that they have in their heart, and they're going to no longer be inclined to turn away from me, but I'm going to give them a heart that desires to seek me. You see, Jesus came and he said, I delight to do your will. So this week, as we're looking at the Passion Week of Jesus, let's remember the reality that he delighted to do the will of God. He didn't have to pray. He delighted to pray. He didn't have to go to the cross. He saw the joy on the other side of the cross, and he said, "What's on the other side is worth passing through this." And so I want to encourage you. This is a covenant that has been paid for by Jesus Christ. And if somebody came and they gave you something that was very, very valuable, and they said, we're giving this to you, it is fully paid for, all you've got to do is appropriate it, all you've got to do is put it into use in your life, don't ignore it. And so what we're talking about today is salvation. It is salvation that does not come because you're of the right economic bracket. It doesn't come because of who you're related to here on earth. It doesn't come because you're an American. It doesn't come because of your skin color or anything like that. It only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is not a once-a-year relationship. It is not a just say these few little words here and your eternity will be transformed. It is entering into a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship. And he said, this is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And I said this on yesterday's broadcast. I'll say it again today. Everything that Jesus did for you. He did it for me. And so if you are like the person that I was sharing the gospel with one time, and they said, "You don't understand. I have sinned too much. I have done too much wrong. I have sinned in just about every conceivable way that you can sin. There is no hope for me." I want you to know that I can take you to this passage and say, this covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. You see, the blood of Jesus really was a representation of that old song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He did it for us. He did it to wash away my sins and your sins. And we need to realize that what has begun as a work of grace, that it can only be continued as a work of grace. I hope that you are just as thankful today for the salvation that Jesus has paid for you today as you were that very first day that you had it. Don't ever lose the wonder. When it comes to Easter, or as we call it, Resurrection Sunday, don't ever lose the wonder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is an incredible, incredible privilege. And he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And yet we have so many people that are, they fall prey to not only the tactic that I just shared with you, I've sinned too much, but there are a number of other deceptions that the enemy will use to try and deprive you of availing yourself of this great blessing that God has provided in the opportunity to have a living, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. There are people who would say, "Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person." And I would just like to remind you that our perspective of good is not necessarily God's perspective of good. Please don't get insulted. I'm just trying to share the reality with you, and that is every person on the planet has sinned. If you were going through a product and you were quality control inspector and this product had to be flawless, it could not have any imperfections in it whatsoever. In order for it to pass the test, it had to be flawless in every category. It had to be flawless in appearance, in function, in recollection. It could have no blemish, no flaws. And you're the person that's in charge of quality control, and you pick up the first one, and it's got a scratch in the upper right-hand corner, and you pick up the second one, and it's got a dent in the middle. You pick up the third, and it's got a scratch over here on the right or on the left. If you pick up another one, and it's got a crack in it. If you pick up something else, and it's the wrong color, it's the wrong size, it doesn't fit. It's not the shape that it is supposed to be. And you know what I'm picturing in my mind is a CD or a DVD, or maybe it was supposed to have something inscribed on it, and yet there's a defect in it that will not allow it to be inscribed upon, and so every time you go to avail yourself, nothing but a blank comes up. You see, each and every one of those situations has a flaw. That flaw might be different from the other person, and we tend to look at one another and we compare ourselves by one another, but we are not the standard. You could measure yourself against me, and you're probably taller than I am. You're probably better looking than I am, make more money than I do. You might be younger and stronger and faster than I am. You may know the Bible better than I do. There, you could measure yourself by me and say, "Well, I'm better than him, and so I'm going to heaven," and that would be the wrong standard. Because it's not about whether you can beat me. It's not about whether you are just less defective than I am. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so here's what Jesus said when they called him good master. He said, "There is none good but God." And so the only thing that is good in your life, in my life, in everyone's life, The only thing that is good is when God comes in and takes up residence because of the blood of Jesus Christ in our heart, and he begins to renovate our spiritual house, and he begins to renew our mind, and he begins to work inside of us. You see, it is only that part that is good that comes from God. It is not a comparison of me to somebody else, or you to me, or whatever it might be. And so that's why you find that there are people who they may from time to time compare themselves by one standard, and then when it comes to a difference, you know, to a different level, they don't measure up. When I was in sixth grade, we had a teacher. Now, don't ask me how I remember this, because I just remember the profound experience that it made. Now, I was a very tiny kid, and so I go to sixth grade, and Mr. Smith was the teacher, and he called all of us sixth graders in. It was a sixth grade assembly, and he advised us this. He said, "Now, this year, you all are the big fish in a little pond." And then the next year, we were going to seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. We were going to junior high school, and ninth graders were considered part of the junior high instead of the high school, although your GPA went to with you to high school. And he said, "But next year, you all are going to be little fish inside of a big pond." And the truth of the matter was, when we got to seventh grade, we were going to be bigger than we were the year before, but the pond had gotten bigger. You see, it was all about the comparison factor. And so today, the standard is not you, me, anybody else. The standard is Jesus, and he is perfect. He is flawless in all that he is. And he says, "I'm going to give myself a perfect sacrifice so that you, a sinful man or a sinful woman, could come and be forgiven of your sins, restored in relationship to me, and I will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to establish my covenant with you." Now, there are a lot of people, and they come to church Easter, and they come to church on Christmas. And you know what? We're glad to have you. We really are. But please understand that Jesus didn't die on the cross to have a one-night stand with you. He died upon the cross to establish a new covenant with you. And just as you would consider yourself abandoned if you were married and without any explanation whatsoever, your spouse just disappeared off of the face of the earth for about 363 or 364 days out of the year, and all of a sudden they just show up one day and they say, "Hi, honey, I'm home." And you say, "What's this honey stuff you're talking about?" You've been gone. I thought we were entering into a lifelong journey together, and you think we're just celebrating holidays together. Please understand, saying the prayer is essential. It's necessary. You and I have to repent of our sins, realize the sinfulness of our ways, embrace the sacrifice that has been made available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and give thanks to God. But it's a launching pad. It is not the final destination. It is supposed to be a journey together, a covenant journey with God. And so I tell you what I see when I see military families who've been separated by deployment, that when they're in a different geographic location, they still do their best not to be separated emotionally or relationally. They will connect with telephone calls, letters, cards, Facebook messages, private messages, whatever it might be, they are going to stay connected as best they could. You know, we are blessed with the technology that we have been given now that, you know, here in a few weeks, I'll be teaching in Fiji and several other countries in the South Pacific. And it's all because of technology that is available, but it will be a connection, a covenant. It'll say, I will be here at this time. If at all possible, I will be here. And so I pray that you will experience that covenant relationship. But I know this, most of the people who are listening to this are already Christians. You already know about a covenant relationship with Jesus. But I also know this, that most families have someone who is not walking with Jesus, and those loved ones would really like for that person to know Jesus. So let's pray the prayer of faith, shall we? That Jesus would captivate them by his grace, and that they too would experience the joy of walking in covenant relationship with him. Why don't we pray for salvation of souls this weekend? God said, ask of me and I will give you the nations. I will give you the people groups. No matter where they are, what language they speak, I know their language. Wherever they are, I can reach them by my hand. My presence is there. Let's just close out this broadcast with prayer for salvation this resurrection season. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord, I want to thank you for the gracious offering you made through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I am thankful that you came to establish a covenant relationship with humanity, that our sins could be forgiven. You said the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that this week, that there would be people who would begin a lifelong journey with you, that they would discover the joy of your word, that they would discover the thrill of fellowshipping with other believers, God. Lord, that they would know what it is to have the guilt and the oppression of their sins removed, the burden of their sins removed, and the joy of the Lord be a reality in their life. I pray, God, for every church in Brevard County this Sunday, that there would be a new person that is saved in Jesus' name. May there be a revival that takes place throughout our community as you write people's names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for your great offer of forgiveness and covenant with us. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.